You're listening to the Live Yes with Arthritis podcast, created by the Arthritis Foundation to help people with arthritis and the people who love them live their best lives. This podcast and other life-changing resources are made possible by gifts from donors like you. If you're dealing with chronic pain, this podcast is for you. You may have arthritis, but it doesn't have you. Here, learn how you can take control of arthritis with tips and ideas from our host and guest experts.
Welcome to the Live Yes with Arthritis podcast. I'm Bailey Cook, your guest host for today's episode. I was diagnosed when I was 8 years old with arthritis, and it has been quite the journey. The more I get older, the more interested I am in trying to adapt things. And today we're going to talk about gardening for arthritis, which is something that I am determined to do better. So gardening is a wonderful pastime that's not only fun and rewarding, but also good for your health. In fact, research shows it can improve both the physical and mental health for people with a wide range of conditions, including arthritis. It's even been said that the benefits of gardening could be used as social prescription globally to help improve the health for people with chronic conditions. But what can be done when painful, achy, and swollen joints from arthritis keep you from tending to your garden's tasks? In this episode, we'll explore gardening tips, techniques, trends, and tools to help and hone your green thumb with less pain and discomfort. Today, I'm joined by our guest expert, Dina Pittman. Welcome to the podcast, Dina. Do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Hey, Bailey. Thank you so much for having me here to talk about gardening today, my favorite topic. I have always been a gardener, and I have always just played in the dirt. And so I can't imagine what it was like for you with juvenile arthritis, having to go through all of that and get your diagnosis at the time. But I feel like with osteoarthritis, particularly people who are older, the diagnosis process is probably a little bit different. As an adult, I had always been kind of confined to small city lots for my gardening. And I always, of course, dreamed really big and I wanted so much more and looked at all the magazines and pored over the catalogs and all that stuff and just dreamed about having this gardening paradise. And so finally, after my kids were out of high school, my husband and I decided we were going to move a little more rural. And we were able to get an acre and a half. And I thought I was just in heaven because this is my paradise. Here, I get to finally put all those things into action and build all the gardens of my dreams. I thought actually that my biggest problem was going to be learning how to garden in the shade because our lot was very treed. And I thought there's not enough sun to have any gardens anywhere, but I was going to learn how to deal with it. And then it turned out that what my biggest obstacle was dealing with the chronic pain and injury that I was having from osteoarthritis. And so it was a constant battle between me kind of trying to build these new gardens and do it in the way that I always knew how, which is not necessarily the best way if you have arthritis. Then I would get injured and I'd go to the doctor and it was just, well, you have a little bit of arthritis going on here, but never really like someone sitting you down and saying, you have arthritis, you have a chronic disease that's progressive that you're going to have to learn how to manage if you're going to keep doing what you're doing. So that's kind of where I'm coming from with the Disabled Gardener is the website I started and my blog. And I started trying to come to terms with this diagnosis and trying yet to have my dreams of having big gardens.
You have this dream and you've continued to fight for that dream despite any obstacles that might have come your way. You said the pain was your biggest obstacle, but let's really jump into it. What were the greatest obstacles you had when it came to planting and watering and weeding and pruning and all of these different parts that actually go into gardening?
In the beginning, it was more of just trying to get the beds built and trying to get the hardscaping in and all that kind of stuff. And so I just had to adapt and learn and get really creative. And so one of the things that I say with planting is, for one thing, you should probably do perennials instead of annuals. Perennials are the plants that come back year after year, and annuals are the ones that you have to put out again and again each season. You might have to do a little bit of pruning or something on them, but you don't have to keep replanting. So that's going to save you a lot of wear and tear. Another thing you can do is plant self-sowers, which are things that are going to reseed. So like, it depends on your area that you're from and how cold it gets and if the freeze kills the plant completely back. But where I am, we're pretty mild winters. So a lot of the stuff that I have, the flowers, marigolds and zinnias and stuff like that, will actually reseed. The seed will lay on the soil, and then the next season it'll sprout up by itself. They also can be a nuisance and cause a lot of plants where you don't want plants. And so you wind up having to pull them all up. Have a good garden scooter. I have one that has an adjustable seat on it. A lot of times you'll see like the little plastic ones in the store, and they might be good if you're the right height for that particular thing, but they're not adjustable. I'm a little bit taller, and so if my back's hurting or my knees are hurting, it's not so hard to sit down on that scooter or stand back up from the scooter.
I actually love where you started with this, is you don't just jump right into planting.
Yes.
This year, I really want to figure out how best to build my garden, and like, how do I do that in a way that I'm not going to be in pain trying to one, take care of it, or two, put it together even. How did you start with your pain and planning for your garden?
Well, for one thing, I had a lot of plants already from various other gardens that I had had. And so I had all these plants that I needed to put somewhere. Then I took the time to start planning out, and you want to look at how much sun your area is going to get. I have a lot of shade, so that's always a problem for me to get things to bloom because they don't have enough sunshine. One of the things is to look at different raised bed designs. Vegetable gardening and flower gardening are a little bit different. So where I do my vegetable gardening, I have all raised beds. And where I do my flower gardening, I am working more on doing, it's called sheet mulching. If you wanted to start a new area, you'd kind of mark out your area where you want it to be. And then you can put cardboard down on top of the grass. If there's grass there, you can put layers of newspaper. You can put layers of leaves then on top of that, and you wet it down and then put mulch on top of it. If you put a good 3-inch to 5-inch layer of mulch on top of that, then you've kind of suppressed all your weeds, maybe not all of them. And then you can come back and kind of spot treat your weeds. But if you were doing a raised bed, you could put that kind of system down and put your raised bed on top, and then bring in some garden soil and compost and stuff like that to do your planting in. There's a lot of new raised beds coming out now that are really interesting, and the metal raised beds are very popular. And I'm starting to just experiment with all kinds of different raised bed gardening. I've done pots. You can get like plastic containers like at your hardware store and plant in those. I love to do carrots and lettuce in those big plastic containers. And there's something about those containers being high enough up off the ground, it kind of keeps the bugs out of them.
The Arthritis Foundation tests and certifies products and packages that are proven to make life easier for people with arthritis, chronic pain, and physical limitations. An ease of use certification recognizes products that can be easy to use by everyone. Explore them at arthritis.org/ease of use.
My grandma gave me this book about gardening, and you know, my grandma is the best. She has a beautiful flower garden. She doesn't do vegetables, but she has a beautiful flower garden, and she also has arthritis. And so she has a lot of the tools that really help I live in Utah, and so it's very hot Arid. Summers and very cold winters and
a harsh environment.
Yeah. We have very hard ground too. So I think that, you know, some of these things that you've brought up are a really good fit for where I live.
Yeah.
Things just don't really grow that well in the ground here.
You've got to work on the soil constantly because the soil is just your foundation, and you've got to build that soil so that the plants can get what they need. The roots actually communicate. Unless the soil's so compacted, then it kind of makes the root just give up. Every state has a native plant society. And so you can look up the native plant society. They will have all kinds of information about which native or sometimes adapted plants do best in your area.
Right.
The thing about the natives is it's so great for arthritis because it reduces your workload. So if you're trying to keep a plant that doesn't do well in your area alive, you're having to give it a lot of things. You're having to baby it along and keep it alive. And if you're with your natives and you just kind of can ignore them, and they're going to be adapted to your soil, they're going to be adapted to your conditions.
That's my biggest challenge is I plant these things, and what I really struggle with is it gets so hot here during the summer.
Right.
And so I think one thing that I really was challenged with last year is watering it and taking the time to do it maybe in the morning and at the night time. And we are also in a drought. And so, kind of being mindful of not taking too much of the water.
Watering is another thing that a lot of people will think, well, big deal, you just water something. But watering is a huge chore. And when I first started out, we didn't have any kind of sprinkler system. Mm-hmm. And so on an acre and a half, that's a pretty wide amount when I had beds here and beds over there. And I'm dragging that hose along all summer long. And with arthritis especially, tripping can be a major problem. And so one of the best tools I ever got was a automatic retractable hose reel. These automatically go back. And if you do a little research on them, you can find some really good companies out there making fantastic hose reels. And so now I have three of them and I still want two more. So I'm still budgeting for those last two, but they're expensive, but they're so worth it because they work so well.
And is that like you press a button and it does it automatically?
The ones that the brand that I have, you just tug on the hose a little bit and then it retracts for you. That's and amazing. you pull it out and tug on it and it locks. And then you tug on it again and it retracts for you.
I mean, I think of like a vacuum cleaner cord, like you just pull it out and then
exactly like a vacuum cleaner cord.
I hate to admit it, but my hose has been literally laid out across my yard all winter because I was watering something in the back and then it froze and I just never put it back over my arm and it's still sitting there and it's so embarrassing, but
it's unsightly.
Yes.
But the other thing about watering, if you're not using a big hose like that, but you're using watering cans, you need to remember, like I have some really cute old metal watering cans. Mm-hmm. And water weighs 8 pounds per gallon.
Oh.
So you need to remember that. And so I've been gradually switching over to the really good watering can with a nice rose on the end that sprinkles the water out real soft, but it's all plastic and it's high quality plastic, so it'll last.
All year long, the Arthritis Foundation is putting a spotlight on how serious chronic arthritis pain really is. We're also sharing inspirational stories, as well as tips, solutions, and resources to help manage your specific type of arthritis pain. Visit arthritis.org/pain.
When you're thinking about having your garden and planting things and having these planter boxes, is that similar to like things that help you kneel down and sit on it and things like that?
I would call it more of like a wagon almost. Not a wagon, but it's got four wheels and mine actually steers. And then it has a swivel. It looks like a tractor seat in the middle of it. And that seat swivels around so that it raises higher or lower.
And what kind of things help you with like gripping and like dexterity? Like I know a lot of people that have arthritis, it may affect their hands. And for me, I mean, I drop things all the time because my hands just quit working. Yeah. And so what kind of tools help to balance that?
Well, I do have ratchet pruners. They have like a little gear. And so when you squeeze the pruner, it clicks onto that first gear. So it doesn't go back. And then you squeeze again, it clicks again. Any tool that's going to use leverage instead of you, your hand being the leverage, is going to be better for you. If I know that I'm going to spend all day because I've got a big project and I'm going to be in that garden all day long, planning is so important. One thing that I do is like meal prep. And I know you would think meal prep, we're talking about gardening, but nutrition is so important in managing your arthritis. Mm-hmm. I get inspired by my garden and try to grow my own nutrition, which is fun. And it helps teach you to eat a lot of different vegetables because you're learning to grow things that will grow in your area. And I found myself growing things that I've never heard of before, but they're awesome. But when you do that, that takes more prep. I'll go out first thing in the morning and I'm picking lettuce or greens or whatever it is and bring them in and wash them. Mm-hmm. When you're tired and you're saying, oh, I still got to go pick those greens and bring them in and wash them, then it's a big chore. But if you do it in the morning before you get started and before you're too tired, you can just have that to look forward to all day long. Then all you have to do is stir fry them real quick.
Yeah, you bring up a good point with gardening all day. Would you say that it's best practice to take one day and do everything or to do maybe micro bursts where you work on certain projects for a set amount of time to not over fatigue yourself?
You still have to kind of budget what you're doing because you know yourself and you know you're going to be limited. Mm-hmm. And so what I like to do is not do any one activity too long. So really half an hour is a long time to do one activity. Again, if you take it back to the gym, you know, would you do squats for half an hour? No.
Right. You know? Absolutely not.
No. So, but if you say, okay, I'm going to plant for half an hour and then I'm going to do something that doesn't require as much bending down or kneeling or squatting or whatever. But that brings me to another point. One of the things I found a lot of people, especially if you're having a lot of pain, get really overwhelmed with the amount of work that needs to be done. Just relax and, everything's so beautiful. I'll actually take out a clipboard and a piece of paper and pen and walk the garden just with the idea in mind of putting those top things on my list that need to be done. And somehow that takes the anxiety out of it for me.
So for people that aren't as lucky as you to have all of this wonderful space to garden in, there's a couple of different types of gardening that I want to get your feedback on. So the first is patio planters. What are your thoughts about patio planters?
I love them. I have tons of space, but I still have patio planters. I would say too, patio planters are going to be good for if that's your only garden, mm-hmm. you might still want to do your native plants and things like that in there. But patio planters can be really good for the things that you do need to baby along.
We've talked about watering a little bit. What do you think about the self-watering systems? Is that something that you use personally?
I have experimented with some homemade ones. Mm-hmm. And that's what I've done in the plastic container boxes. They call them a wicking pot, where you put the water in the bottom and the soil kind of wicks that water up. And so it's supposed to be kind of a constant watering for them. I think that could be a really good way to lower your maintenance and your labor that you're having to do. I love experimenting with the different ways and writing about it.
Movement is the best medicine. but it can be hard when you hurt. Your Exercise Solution is a resource to help you create a customized physical activity routine based on your specific needs and abilities. Learn more at arthritis.org/yourexercisesolution.
On social media, we asked the question, what's the greatest obstacle to gardening with arthritis and how do you overcome it? So I'm going to read a couple of responses and we can just kind of chit chat about what they had said. So the first one comes from Bionic RA, says, having or modifying my tools to make the work less stressful on me. I am 6'4", so standing straight is better for me. And I look for rakes and shovels with longer handles. Don't carry when I can wheel. I garden almost every day. It's where I get grounded. And then he says, microdoses are best. So we kind of touched about a few of these things, but what's your feedback?
That's very smart for them to specifically look for long-handled tools because, you know, it'd be nice if all of our tools were just custom made to our height, just like the garden scooter too. Yep. I kept trying to use those little bitty garden scooters and I was like, this is hard to get up and down. And I felt silly that I couldn't get up and down from my garden scooter. But then when I realized, oh, it's because it's too short.
Right.
If you're using a shovel and you've got this load that's way out away from your body, you're going to put a lot of strain probably on your lower back. And so sometimes it depends on the activity you're doing, I guess. Mm-hmm. You would need to bring that weight closer into your body, carry it as close to your body as you can. And the other thing about tools is I'd like to mention is that you've got to keep your tools sharp. Because that's one of the worst enemies for arthritis is dull tools. Because if you're trying to cut your roses or cut anything, it puts so much strain on your hands if you're just sitting there and your tool won't cut it because it's too dull. Same as in the kitchen, if you're trying to chop onions or whatever and your knife is too dull, it's just going to work so much quicker and easier if your tool is sharp.
The next person says, raised gardening works best for me. I have so much trouble getting up after kneeling in the garden or bending over. My back and knees appreciate being able to stand. When my hands start to hurt too much, I get a bucket of ice water and put my hands in it just until the throbbing stops, then wrap my hands in warm towels for about 15 minutes. Helps so much to keep the ache at bay.
That makes me both sad and happy. If you know I am going to spend all weekend or all Saturday trying to get this whole project done, you know that you're going to be sore in the evening and you need to plan for that pain. And so if they know they can do the alternating heat and ice with their hands and that's going to help, that's a great thing to plan for that pain when you're done with a day of work. But it's sad if they have to stop during their work and do that. That's very hard.
And the last one that we'll talk about, this person says, if it wasn't for gardening, I think I would weigh 300 pounds on my 5'1 frame. I live in the desert and love working in the heat. It warms my bones. I have 13 native trees and about 100 brittle and sage bushes. They all need my care. And sometimes my husband helps me with the tall ones.
Well, first of all, everyone always says, what do you mean exercise? If I'm gardening, I'm exercising. And I have a problem with that because that's what I used to think too. And then I kept getting injured. And what I figured out is that when I'm gardening, I'm not moving correctly. I'm off balance. I'm carrying loads of water or whatever. And I'm not doing things correctly. But now that I've learned to exercise, and I make sure that I'm doing a class or whatever I'm doing with a good instructor who's telling you to correct your posture while you're doing it. I say you have to work on to be able to garden successfully with arthritis is your mind management. And we tend to be perfectionists, and we have this perfectionist idea of what our garden is supposed to look like. Nature doesn't make it look perfect, but we still enjoy it. We still enjoy what we see. And so sometimes you just need to drop the perfectionism a little bit and just do what you can and enjoy it.
I love that. I do want to hear a little bit more about your website and your blog.
I got really depressed when I started feeling like, I can't do this. Here it is, my dream come true to do all this gardening. And I felt like I was being told I just have to stop doing it because that's what was hurting me. But I'm a little bit too stubborn to just stop. So I decided I had to find a way to do it and figure it out. And so my blog was just kind of me along the years figuring it out. I also am on Instagram and Facebook, and I try to post weekly.
And for our listeners, how can they find your blog and your social media accounts?
My blog is just disabledgardener.com. And on Instagram, I'm at disabledgardener. And on Facebook, it's the Disabled Gardener.
So Dina, what would you say is your favorite gardening tool when it comes to gardening with your arthritis?
Well, Bailey, that's a really hard question to answer, but I'm going to have to go with the retractable hose reel, because if you don't get out there and water, your plants are going to die and no one's going to be happy. Your plants aren't happy and you're not happy. So I would say it's probably that hose reel. Just makes your life so much easier.
I definitely need it because my plants die and then I am not a happy camper. Well, as we wrap up, I just want to ask, what are your top takeaways that you want listeners to really remember after listening to this episode?
Well, I think the most important things are what I call the pillars of gardening. Those are kind of the mind management. You have to get your thinking about your arthritis under control. And you have to come to that point if you're an older gardener and you're suddenly finding yourself not able to do what you've been able to do before in the past. You have to get to that point where you realize I have this progressive incurable disease and I am still going to garden. So how am I going to come to terms with that? And that's where the mind management kind of comes in. Exercise and nutrition are very important. And I like to try to get the nutrition from my garden and the exercise. When I first started having to go to physical therapy a lot, I thought, this is so dumb. The little movements, they're not doing anything to make me stronger and I could be at home gardening. But I finally learned to use those physical therapy sessions to try to learn from people who are trained in movement and what am I doing wrong and how can I correct this? And I did want to remind people, when you're in the off season of gardening, that is your spring training. So you need to be training to get fit for the garden, because that is your time when you can be working on your strength and your core strength. Core strength is so important for balance. And so all of those things you can be working on during that off season. So you're in training for that garden. So
I love that.
And then also examine your methods. Just start learning about new ways of gardening. I don't till anything anymore. There's no need for it as far as I can see. And so I do no dig gardening and I do the layer mulching and all that kind of stuff to try to improve the soil. But also look at your tools. One thing I really can't stand to see is women using a wheelbarrow. Because almost every garage has a wheelbarrow that someone's needed at one point in home ownership. And wheelbarrows are very unbalanced. And you load that wheelbarrow up and you're off balance. It's really heavy. And it's just a recipe for injury. Instead of a wheelbarrow, you can use a garden cart. So a garden cart is balanced. It has two big wheels in the front and legs in the back. It's super well balanced and it makes the carrying a load easier. And honestly, I wish my garden cart could just follow me around the yard like Baby Yoda. Wouldn't that be great?
I love that.
So examine your tools and then also, you know, pain management. You're going to prep your dinner so that you have your nutrition at night and you're going to take care of yourself first. And then you're able to take care of your garden. But you just have to define what you want your life with arthritis and gardening to be.
I love that. I did also want to mention right before we leave is that the Arthritis Foundation has some really great ease of use products that could benefit you with gardening. So we have things like our connector hose and our hose nozzles. And so if you ever want to check out some of those, it's arthritis.org/ease of use. And I just really want to thank you so much for joining us today and giving us your wisdom. And just thank you so much for sharing with us.
Thank you, Bailey. Thank you for having me. And congratulations on the 100th episode. That's very exciting.
Thank you so much.
The Live Yes with Arthritis podcast is independently produced by the Arthritis Foundation. Gifts from people like you make our podcast and other life-changing resources possible. You can donate at arthritis.org/donate. This podcast aims to help people living with arthritis and chronic pain live their best life. People like you. For a transcript and show notes, go to arthritis.org/podcast. Subscribe and rate us wherever you get your podcasts. And stay in touch.